Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It's a beautiful, beautiful Monday. And we gave you Rhema Worship, Jesus I Am. 13 minutes, it is just after 12, right here on Heart to Heart with you up until 3 o'clock. And I'm so delighted we are back again with Pastor Lakili Vempe. You know, when I'm talking about Pastor Lakili Vempe, we're talking about life after death. Debs. Life after death. And he wrote that book. He's the author of that book. Tell us a little bit about it. How are you, Muruti?
I am so excited, and I'll tell you why. Not just about my book, but I'm excited because it is payday Monday.
What's the day today?
Is it that? Yeah. Oh. That means you are not one of us.
No. Sansa Kitla Kitlokokot. Bazalwan.
I tell you, it's payday Monday. I'm excited. And I'm also excited about the fact that I'm here.
Yeah.
What a payday Monday to talk about my book.
I'm so. Before you talk about your book, Kiri Muruti, it's a challenge. Guys, Muruti says he heard 30 years of worship.
Yeah.
Via me, and you were there.
I was there, and let me tell you, it was such a wonderful experience. And I should actually say thanks to you, because I would not have known.
You would have missed it.
I would have missed it.
Yeah,
and I think it was amazing, the mix up of artists there. Mm-hmm. Israel coming at the end.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Starting with ending with the national anthem.
The thing is, he's been off stage in as far as music is concerned for some time.
Yes.
So I was just, my wife and I, we were just screaming our lungs out.
I'm glad you still have your voice.
You know,
at least you're here with your voice.
A little bit of some warm water as well.
So are you saying Radio Pulpit, do it again?
You know what? Yeah. Do it again. If not for anybody, do it for me.
Ah, that is so awesome, Muruti. So tell us about your book.
My book is entitled Life After Death,
mm-hmm.
A Guide to Wealth Creation and a Debt-Free Life. And I'm so excited that the public is receiving this book quite well.
Yeah.
And also through your show. Thanks to you.
Thanks to God.
Yes. You know, the response that we are getting, the feedback, the impact that it's having on people's money management skills.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Wow.
And if you don't have it yet, I really want to recommend that you get it.
Get it for yourself. Get it. Muruti, thank you so much for putting this together, because how many of us are indebted? And some are heavily indebted.
Mm.
Another one was like, I'm just about to come out, and then boom.
And something else come, right?
So how do we get the book?
You can send us a WhatsApp or an SMS to 071-352-4581. I'm going to repeat that. 071-352-4581. And once you send us a text or WhatsApp and say, I need that book, we will give you all the details. But it will come straight to where you are for only 350, including delivery everywhere you are in South Africa.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And some of the chapters that are there.
The chapters are,
because somebody is like hearing about this for the first time.
Yeah, for the first time. We have chapters like misconceptions about money, the causes of poverty, why you need to get out of debt, budgeting, when your expenses exceed your income, good money habits, wealth killers, how to come out of debt, the benefits of saving money, how to save money effectively, increasing your savings, what to save for first and last, developing a habit of saving money, what to do if you bumped into a lot of money, first things to do when you get a salary raise, how to negotiate for a salary raise, the three steps of creating wealth, the cash flow quadrant, money traps, your income is your asset for wealth creation, and lastly, financial partnership in marriage.
We are talking about today.
You know, you always finish on a high note, I almost say Soluma Tlangu, but like, so you finish on the marriage and money partnerships. Yeah, awesome.
Wow. And it only goes family for 350. If you want the book, you can send a WhatsApp to the number 071-352-4581. 071-352-4581. And Pietro Small, hello, my greeting and by a donkey. And she's advising honey or water help for a sore throat. that's advising you, Muruti, because you're screaming.
Oh,
your lungs
because out. I was. Okay, is that what you did? Thank you for the medical advice, by the way.
So, partnership.
Partnership.
Financial partnership in marriage. Now, Muruti, let's start at the beginning. Yeah. Before marriage, there is a relationship, there's a courtship. And people are, even others are engaged. So when do we begin to partner financially? Do we begin whilst we are in a this is how I know this is our language as Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a relationship. Then there is engagement and courtship. And then there's marriage.
The ships are different.
So yes.
There's a relationship.
Yeah.
That might be sinking or afloat.
Oh, Murut. But now. So,
so then there's courtship. Yeah.
Yeah
so your question is
when do we start? Do we start in that relationship?
With financial.
During jol time. Okay. The world calls it mjolo.
Hey.
So do we start mjolweni to partner financially? Because there are some of us, as we were saying with you, we are involved in business together.
Yes.
We are even saving, but we are in a relationship. We are not even engaged.
Yes.
We haven't lobolat.
Yeah, we're probably still dating or courting, as you
We're still trying to figure out.
We are trying to try.
Yeah. But we already in a business together. So when should we start?
You know, when you said that, it's just that I had a haircut this morning, but I would have said my hair started raising up when you just asked that question, because I remember an incident. I had a business partner. And her and I were also friends.
Okay.
And so when we got a huge deal back then,
yeah.
The two of us.
Yeah.
And it came through her. And then she then introduced me to her boyfriend and said, listen, I want you to work with my boyfriend. So my boyfriend is going to be working on my behalf on this deal.
Okay.
And I looked at her and I said, wow, do you trust your boyfriend so much?
Yes.
I mean, we are dealing with 6 digits here and you trust him to handle that for you? She said, listen, I'm madly in love. And not only did it end there, but I remember that when we transacted at the end of that business, she bought him a brand new Mini Cooper Super Sport. Yes, yes. And not only that, you know, iPhones were just coming in and she bought him a MacBook. Wow. It was so great. But the end of it wasn't so good. Because I remember she was screaming at some point, calling me on the phone. And she was so devastated because the gentleman had taken the very same car that she bought him. And she found him with another lady in the same car and all of that. And she found some chats on the same MacBook that she bought him. And he was talking with somebody else. And as I talk today, they are no longer together. So as a pastor...
What happened to the business?
Well, obviously, the business, they had a cut. I don't know how much they shared between themselves. All I can remember is that she did buy a brand new car for him. And a MacBook, I think it was around 25,000 rent. And that was a while ago. So that was quite an amount of money that she spent on him. So, but what I'm saying is their ending did not end very well. So they went separate
ways. She didn't lose her business to him.
Luckily not, because it wasn't an issue of signing together for the business as much as it was just sharing the proceeds of that business. But you know the pain you would feel as a lady walking away from a relationship knowing that you left a brand new car behind and so much money that you spend on a person. And we've seen how when, you know, people end relationships, you know, they always remind each other of the stuff they bought for each other. And sometimes they demand those things. You know, you can have a person getting into your house and say, I'm here to collect my stove, my heater, my office.
I was actually watching that on TV the other day. Muruti's laughing.
You know,
I was actually watching that on TV.
It's dramatic.
Yeah.
You know?
And the worst part with this one, the guy called, wrote a letter to the family to say we are getting married.
Okay.
And on the day,
yeah,
he didn't show up.
Oh, wow.
He didn't show up. And
hopefully he wasn't kidnapped on his wedding day.
No, but now the family, the lady's family went to his house and now they were collecting the curtains and this.
Guys, leave curtains. we can't be having the sun coming through and exposing our empty house. Take any other thing and cover us with curtains.
No, the family was really hurt by what he did because they even bought new clothes and they were going to pay.
What would you do? What would you do? Would you go after the staff? Would you say, listen, I bought you a watch?
No.
What if you bought a Rolex?
Maruti.
You would go for it?
Matter, no.
Mm.
No.
Boo, 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 boo.
No.
I'm curious to hear.
No.
Yeah.
But Muruti, now, when it comes to relationships, is it a no-no? Don't get involved financially? Don't partner?
You know, people, in relationship issues are very different. You know, some people are probably listening to us right now and they just feel like they love each other so badly. And if you advise them and say, don't do it until you are married, they might say to you, you don't understand. You've never felt the way I feel. But based on my experiences, again, as a relationship counselor, as a financial fitness coach and a pastor, I have seen a lot of drama in my life. You know, I've seen, as you say, people demanding stuff like curtains before they leave a relationship. And it just complicates your pain of getting away when you have invested in someone so much before the time is right. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that daughters of Jerusalem do not arouse love until it pleases. And I believe it just means, you know, looking at timing your time quite well and saying, I would love to invest this much in this person, but let me wait until we have signed a financial contract. Because, you know, we talk of COPs, community of property, and antenuptial contracts that people sign when they get married. Those are actually financial contracts. It basically, people think it's just marriage contract, but community, it says itself, community of property or out of community or in community or antenuptial contracts. I would say let people be patient a bit. The purpose of dating someone is to really get to know them. You know, and once you show that this is the person I know, I'm comfortable with them and I want to spend the rest of my life with this individual, then get married to them. And only when you, that would be my personal advice, only when you've gotten married to that person, then, you know, you can start investing in your wife or the mother of your children. It makes more sense.
Let me ask a question, because we defined this relationship or we divided this relationship.
Yes.
So now we were talking, focusing on those who are still trying to find each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are still going out together just to know each other.
Yeah.
Then there are those ones, he popped the question.
Yeah.
But he hasn't gone to my family to pay lobola. Or, there's nothing about a family involved or involvement in that. So when do we start? After he has popped the question, is it safe to do it? After he has paid lobola, is it...
Zvongile, you just started by saying a guy never showed up at the wedding day. So please, if you start talking and start sharing some money before that day, what if what Zvongile said now happens? What if he doesn't show up?
Then after he has paid lobola?
No. My advice would be, guys, please, you're going to spend the rest of your life together. What's the rush? Wait until you get married, and once you are married, then start having those financial partnership decisions.
Should we, as married couples, have those partnerships?
Of course. Actually, you know what baffles me, especially when I do as a pastor premarital counseling, I also get shocked that a lot of people are eager. When you ask them a question, what marriage contract do you want, in or out of community? They are eager to say in. In community of property. But when you find out, are you willing to have financial partnership with your partner? What do you mean? Are you willing to tell them how much you earn, show them your salary advice, and plan your expenses together? No. This is my money. My money is my money. Yours is my money. In fact, women say this. They say, my money is my money. His money is our
money.
So you cannot go into a COP or even an antenuptial contract unless you are prepared to have financial partnership. I would say in marriage, it's compulsory. You need to have that because, you know, your COP contract obligates you. Do you know, the law can come after you because of the debts that were incurred by your partner.
Yes.
Yes, once you are in a COP environment. Yes. So why would you be married and not want to have financial discussions with your partner or even want to be transparent about
it? Well, I think when it comes to Christianity, it sounds good to say in community.
I'm in.
Because we are one.
Yeah.
People
like to be in, right?
Yes. But
it doesn't sound like you are kicked out.
because others say, why do we talk negative about... They feel like when you're talking about an antinup... the prenups and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
They feel like, no... It's actually, we are getting ourselves ready to
separate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you say in community, wow. It sounds Christian.
I'm glad you said that because it really gave me something to think about. Oh, so they feel that way. That's the sentiment. That
yeah.
Okay.
It sounds Christian to say we are one.
And we are
the
in.
Bible says, and the two shall become one. So it's only
it sounds
easy.
Christians to be in community. I'm writing down those notes. It sounds Christian to be, and then in quotation, Zbongile, Mfuke, said so.
But this is what we get when we're talking to people.
Okay.
So, Moruti, you're saying after Lobola, because most of the families now, after Lobola, they consider the two.
Married, yes. By customary law, you are married, and I think it's the right time to start engaging because, look, that's where you start talking about...
But should we be talking about it in relationship, in engagement, before even the Lobola?
In prospect, yes. You know, you can, you know, sort of test your prospects and say, for example, once we start talking about where are we going to stay, me and you, after marriage, are we going to lease a property? Are we going to buy a property? If we're going to buy a property, where exactly? Do we prefer staying in the suburbs or in a locked up community or gated community? And once you start having those conversations, it obviously and automatically forces you guys to open up to each other about finances. Even though at a courtship dating level, you don't immediately go into the signatures of those discussions. But to clear up the air and know where you're going, you could be having those conversations.
Those are the conversations you should have in the relationship.
You should have that if the relationship is meant to last. Like, where are we going to stay? How many children are we going to be having? I mean, those are the kind of things people talk about when they are in relationship. By the time you've paid Lobola, wow, you married to that person traditionally. And therefore, you could even already go into some form of, you know, joint agreements, joint partnership with that person at that stage. Yeah.
Sure. All right, Muruti, let's take a break and then come back to talk to you. Family, the lines are open. You can talk to us. You can ask your questions, share your comments, share your experiences. We'd love to hear your very own experiences as well. We're taking a break, taking the sounds of Mahalia Vukunen, You Fight For Me. And then we're coming back with Pastor Lakili Bebe.
Share our passion for life on 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now, www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Pila impilo yakho nathi. Ngena ku radiopulpit.co.za. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Give you the sounds of Mahalia Vukunen, and it's the song is "You Fight For Me." 25 minutes just before 1, right here on Heart to Heart with me, Swangile Mofokeng, with you up until 3. I'm not alone. I'm with Pastor Lakili Bebe, and we're answering this question, or we are talking on this topic. Partnership in marriage, financial partnership in marriage, not just any partnership, but financial one in marriage. And I see Muruti Pepisile Kavotsotetsi saying Dumela Muruti, hello family. And I see Frank Yakov saying this is a great show. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you. And good afternoon to my queen. And I saw, is it Pietra? Okay, Pietra, yeah, we're coming to your message. Carol says, listening with keen interest, sending so much love to you. Hi, family. Hi to you too, my queen. And she continues to say, listening with my colleagues, James Chambo and James Chiyumiya. And married men, so happy for them. Hey, Marasis Carol. Why, Marasis Carol? So they are married men and they have to listen to this. And yeah, you can call in my family and talk to us on 012-334-1322. It's 012-334-1322. Our WhatsApp line, 082-657-2729, 082-657-2729. Are you for it? A partnership in marriage, financial partnership in marriage. Are you for it? And according to you, when should we start with this? And you can also send us your voice notes. Tell us your experiences. Give advice as well. You have gone through something. We'd love to hear your comments this afternoon. Let's hear Pietra.
Morning, afternoon, family. Listen to you. So I was setting quickly a voice message because I'm driving, making jam. And listening to you, and I need to say, I agree so fully. And I think it's all the conversations. And if you're a child of God, and if you go through what we as a family went through, money doesn't matter. You can't buy a life, ne? And the only thing, if you're not a child of God, you can't buy a ticket into heaven. So if people can know that, ne, you can only have one God. You can't, what does the Bible say? You can't have mammon. You can't God. You must kiss. Either for God or for money. Enjoying your programs and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my queen. She's saying about what the Bible says about money, that you can't worship both God and money.
Yeah. An interesting thought indeed. And maybe your experiences and thoughts like those will help people, you know, find harmony in financial partnership. Here's a paragraph I just want to read out from my book. It says, the average couple fight over money. According to a report from Home Affairs and the Divorce Court in South Africa, money problems and money-related disputes account for over 90% of the underlying causes of divorce. Most couples find it very difficult to maintain financial agreements in marriage. This is because of the individualistic view of money and its ownership. One person in marriage may see money as their personal asset because they worked hard for it, and therefore it is very difficult for them to welcome advices on how to spend it. Some people may see their partner's advice on how to spend money or avoid certain money habits as criticism or personal attack. So instead of listening and receiving the advice as constructive, they simply become defensive. And, you know, in my book, I explain how, you know, the biggest problem with money in marriage is not its absence. It's management and conversations that goes around. Imagine two people are married and I say to you, Sbongile, you are so careless with money. Is that an advice or an attack?
It sounds like an attack.
Do you see? So that's exactly where a lot of couples sort of get it very difficult to find harmony with financial talks and financial chats. Why? Because they don't master the art of communication skills. Because communication skills, it's not what you say as much as it's how you say it, you know. Instead of saying, and I said it in my book, instead of saying, you are so careless with money, you could say something like, I think I have an idea that could financially work for both of us.
Okay.
Do you see, when you put it that way, then the next person is more willing to listen than when you start with, we are in this mess because of you. Do you understand? And also, one of the difficulties, Bongile, is we all don't have the same money habits. our money habits is different.
Mm.
And one of the things you need to really know when you start dating someone, look at what their money habits it's like. You know, okay. I have a whole chapter in my book on money habits, and you can see whether you are with someone who, for example, it's a compulsive spender, or someone who has a compulsive buying disorder.
Yeah, yeah,
someone
yeah.
who's suffering from retail therapy.
Yeah.
And the more you know someone, you are going to... And a lot of couples have reached a point where they can comfortably, without fear of judgment, say, my wife is good with money,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not. You know, some people are so forgetful about money. You know, you can find money everywhere, in their jackets, in their pockets. And you're probably laughing because you think, not me. I'll remember where I left a 5 rand.
Well, so, not any woman.
Yes. Well, yeah. So, but again, the challenge would be,
mm-hmm.
You and your partner, do you sort of find common ground on the way you spend money, your money habits? You might find that you are with someone who's very liberal with money. Well, they spend money freely and so forth. A lady once told me how when she went out for a date,
uh-huh.
this was supposed to be a first date. So they just came out of a church service and with this brother off to a restaurant. And when the bill came, and the brother paid 50% of that, and then he
never discussed it with her.
And he said, my sister, can you please address the other 50%?
I think many of us have got that story.
Wow. I'm surprised to hear you say that, because
many of us have got that story. And the brother is the one who said, I'm taking you out.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, wow. So you didn't plan for that financially. So what do you do?
What are you going to do? They're leaving it. You have to pay.
It's so sad that you didn't plan to pay, but no. You planned to order.
Well.
Because you were asked to.
You were told, I am taking you
guys,
out.
Guys, now we can do better. But you see, those are the money habits I'm talking about that some couples... I mean, it's already I don't know whether to say it's a red flag, but... You're already seeing something about this person right from the time you guys are dating.
Yeah.
That, oh God, if he can, if he can't even take care of a restaurant bill.
Yeah, then we are in trouble.
We are in, there's more that's coming. You know, so money habits.
And you find he's the one who was ordering more expensive.
Yeah, exactly. but then you have to divide the bill into half. And the other thing that I said, it's the individualistic view of money. Okay. What I mean by that is, how do you see money once you are married? Is it our money or is it my money? Do you know that's a big problem for so many people?
How should it be, Murugi?
One lady told me,
according to the word.
One lady told me, the Bible says the two shall be one, and what God has put together,
let no man
put an asunder. You know, believers of the early Bible, if you read Acts chapter number 4, the Bible says none of them claimed that what they had belonged to them, but they shared equally. These were not even married people. These were just people in church. And they had that mindset.
Yes.
Well, how much more about people who are married?
Married.
I was telling you of a lady that came to see me the other day, and she came with her husband. She said the husband was busy taking a shower, and he hears the sound of his car leaving, and he realizes, oh, that's my wife driving out in my car. And right from the shower, he comes running. Now leave my car. And all that. And I got shocked to hear comments like those, right? Because the individualistic view of money still prevails for people that are married. A person still sees their money as my money and my car as my car.
That's
and
so
my,
sad.
My houses. And this is most people who end up in the divorce court.
Uh-huh.
Their conversation ends up that way. Like, leave my house. Ah, but we are married. Yeah, leave my house. How did we get there? It shows you the perception about money, the psychology that a person has about money. And once people don't get that right, once you don't fix this, you know, individualistic view, perception and understanding of money, I would say you're not ready.
Wait. Where you spoke about the restaurant bill as a red flag. Do we have other red flags that we can look at? Because
you guys are looking out for a lot. You don't want to get into trouble. our experience will be quite different. But I think talking with someone,
hearing,
you know how the Bible says, from the abundance of their heart, the mouth speaks. Conversations are so powerful. When you are in a relationship, spend most of, be in, you know, take some road trips together and go to picnics and just sit and talk.
Yeah.
Because in doing that, you would get a lot of understanding. Sometimes some money anxiety that this individual have, you know, you would be able to pick up that, what does money mean to them?
Yeah.
It's money a form of control to this individual, or is it a defense to them? Those conversations are so important when you talk about, you know, money and all of that. And also, how much of money knowledge and money skills do such a person possess? And for me, a lot of people say, no, we don't want to talk with our wives about our money, because if I tell her how much I make, she's gonna make me responsible for a whole lot of things, and she's not gonna want to pay anything because she knows I make twice or three times more than her. But there are more advantages that I found out. You know, yesterday after church, I visited another couple, one of the 11 millionaires that I know.
Yeah.
And when I left that house, I just thought, wow, what is the common thing about all these millionaire couples that I know?
Yes.
I found that they have one thing in common. They partner in their finances. They talk about money. They plan together. They don't go ahead and sign a deal or purchase anything without the consent or the knowledge of the other partner.
Okay.
And some people, when they hear that, they say, ah, good for that man. I don't want to be controlled by a woman. I'm not going to have someone tell me what to do with my money that I worked hard for. If I want to buy that, I'll buy it. Why do I have to consult with the person? But I find that the results and the benefits of financial partnerships are actually greater than the lack of it.
All right. Here's this other pastor who says, if you see a woman, I forgot his name, and you love her, and you really, really, really love her, and you want to be with her, and he says, open your wallet.
What if there's nothing in that wallet? I hope there's something in that wallet.
So I think what he was saying,
but what he's
is,
saying figuratively, it's be liberal to her about money, be generous, pump her with money, right?
Yes, love her also with your money.
With your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the moral story behind Lobola. Because it's not necessarily buying a wife. It's the expression of the love that you have for this person, you know. And your readiness to make this person a part of your life, you know. I think that's a very good advice from the pastor. Yeah.
Sure, Murut. So today we are going to park it here. You have to come back. We can talk some more. Tell us again, Muruti, about the book and how we can get the book.
The book is called Life.
Before we wrap up.
Life After Death. Guys, it's not death.
Is this the last chapter of the book?
Yes, the last chapter. I have 22 chapters, and financial partnership in marriage is actually chapter 22, the last chapter.
So you've skipped how many in the previous 4 weeks?
Oh, you know, I'm looking for the ones that are close to my heart. But I'm sure every reader will find the ones that are so
closer to their hearts as well.
But I'm coming back again. So, yes, we can look
so
at
it. So, this is the last chapter of the book.
So, the book is Life After Death. A guide to wealth creation and a debt-free life. So, if you need a copy of this book, it only goes for 350, including delivery, to anywhere you are in South Africa. Send us a WhatsApp or an SMS to 0713524581. 0713524581. And it's coming straight to you.
All right. We're just about to go, Limrut. For 350, my family. For 350, you get it couriered wherever you are in South Africa. So just send a WhatsApp to this number, 0713524581. It's 0713524581. Mom Carol, my queen, says, but how can the dishonesty on money issues be fixed if it has already been a problem in a family. Mm. This saying that the wife's money must not be considered has damaged a lot of women and put in trouble a lot of men. Also, when she's asking this, what comes into mind is when a man loses their job.
What exactly then happens?
There are those ones who haven't been treating their spouses correctly.
That's why it's so dangerous to weaponize money against your spouse.
Because you
never don't
know
what will be in future.
You might need your partner in future.
Yes.
And so you find that even when it comes to how the money, when he comes in with that, I'm like, put it there on top of the fridge somewhere because she's earning more.
Wow.
It feels like she's being disrespectful.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that. But now, Moruti, how do you answer that one? How can that dishonesty
Look,
on money issues be fixed?
The question sounds, one, emotional, and it also sounds, it has a sense of depth in it. And with questions like these, I always recommend counseling, therapy, third-party intervention, because, you know, you have to get to the root of it, you know, and find out what exactly happened and what is the state of the situation as it is in the current moment. But to answer her, I would say there's no problem that's beyond resolving. You know, I've interacted with couples who said, you know, we managed it by, through what they call management by omission, which means I'm not going to talk about it anymore. So it's done and dusted. We're going to just find ways to survive without each other. But even with people that have thrown up the towel, I found that when they engage in counseling, they always find their way out. Because for a person like this, it has, number one, healing has to come in. Forgiveness has to come in. You will have to forgive your partner. And also they have to be willing to reform, change and become better. So a lot of third party intervention, I would say.
Does a person, does it mean that a man loves a woman when he treats her the way we spoke about the others? He's like, come, I'm taking you out. Yeah, we're like this, we are going out. And then you're using a taxi, you have to pay for your fare. You get to the movies, you have to buy your own popcorns and everything.
Guys, if
you're sitting on the table, and then at the end, you are the one having to pay. I mean, I know that even women would date men and pay the bill as well. That day is her who says, I'm spoiling you. I'm spoiling you.
As a wife or what?
Well, I was still in the relationship.
There's a lot out there, right?
Yes, but you find that happens. But now, does it mean that a man can love you and still not want to spend on you?
For God so loved the world that he gave.
He spent, eh?
They spent. They say you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
No, yeah.
I believe that.
All right. Hey, Moruti.
I'm going to have to check that the parking is empty before I exit.
We need to call you security before you go. Emma Kota, the numbers, I've tried to send them. I hope that they are reflected on the other side of our Facebook page. So, yeah, the numbers, if you have a pen, 071-352-4581. 071-352-4581. That is the number where you have to send in the WhatsApp. Moruti, your closing statements?
My closing statements are two. I'm so excited. It's payday Monday. I'm about to leave this place and go enjoy myself. But lastly, I want to say just what I said. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Let that resonate in your mind and improve your relationships and be generous and enjoy each other.
All righty then. The Vuga Gain, Life After Debt, a guide to
to wealth creation and a debt-free life.
All righty then. And it goes for 350, my family. Do drop a WhatsApp if you're looking for that book for yourself or you're buying it for someone. 071-352-4581. Marita, I just need you to pray for our couples where the money matters are concerned. Some love each other. They are supporting each other, even financially. They're partnered so well, but it's affecting their family because things are not adding up. They're not as they're supposed to be. Can we just take it to the Lord in prayer?
Definitely. Lord, I just want to pray right now for those couples that are listening to us and those in particular whose position of financial struggle has been in the area of insufficiency. I want to pray for those that are struggling with financial insufficiency, those that are struggling with finances in as far as income is concerned, who have no form of income. I want to pray for those that are locked up in devastating debts, those that are frustrated by debts that seems to be irrevocable. Lord, I pray that you will impart wisdom, but above all that, I pray that they will experience you as Jehovah Yireh, the God that provides, that you will open doors for them that no man can close, and you will shower them with all blessings and honor them with increase in Jesus' name. And God's people said amen.
Do remember the family that the book is available for 350 wherever you are in South Africa. It can be couriered. So 350 includes your courier fare. And the numbers where you can drop your WhatsApp, 071-352-4581. 071-352-4581. Thank you, Muruti. May God keep keeping you. Enjoy today.
I'm enjoying today. I'll drop you some ice cream, I promise.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So, my family, we are signing out now, Lumuruti. And he says, what, Vili Brats? Hi, Vili. I'll check that song. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.